إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The words of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. And I would like to welcome all of you for continuation of our series concerning explanation of the book Riyad al-Salihin. The book Riyad al-Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi and the explanation by Sheikh Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhima. And we're still dealing with the same chapter concerning the virtues of Al-Quran. And this is chapter 180, and today inshallah we are dealing with hadith number 998. وعن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنهما قال كان رجل يقرأ سورة الكهف وعنده فرس مربوط بشطنين فتغشته سحابة فجعلت تدنو وجعل فرسه ينفر منها فلما أصبح أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكر ذلك له فقال تلك السكينة تنزلت للقرآن. متفق عليه. This hadith which is reported by Al-Bara ibn Azib, may Allah be pleased with him, that a man was reciting Surah Al-Kahf and a horse was tied with two ropes beside him while he was reciting the Quran. A cloud overshadowed him. And as it began to come near and nearer, the horse began to struggle violently. The man came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the morning and mentioned the incident to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that was tranquility which descend by virtue of recitation of the noble Quran. And this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima. The explanation of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi stated what the meaning is. ذكر المؤلف النووي رحمه الله في كتابه رياض الصالحين في باب فضل قراءة القرآن ما يدل على فضل قراءة القرآن من الأحاديث السابقة واللاحقة، فمن ذلك حديث البراء ابن عازب رضي الله عنه. إمام النووي من الله سبحانه وتعالى سن ميرسي in his soul in his book Garden of the Righteousness in the book related to the virtues of reciting the Quran, what to support that the reward and the virtues of recitation of the Quran. Among the hadith he had mentioned is the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, which he said that Iman was reciting Surah Al-Kahf and the chapter of the cave, which is between the chapter of Al-Isra and Surah Maryam. This surah, Surah Al-Kahf, has a lot of virtues. Among the virtues of recitation of Surah Al-Kahf, if somebody recited in the day of Jum'ah, a light will be lighting for him between the two Jum'ah. In that surah, there is stories and lessons which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had narrated on his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Sahabi, Al-Bara ibn Azib, narrated to us that Iman was reciting this surah. While a cloud covered him, it looked like a cloud. Is not a cloud, but it's something look like a cloud. And every time the man continuing recitation, this cloud get closer and closer. In the meantime was a horse tied beside the man. And every time the cloud comes, it caused the horse to jump. Foreseeing the cloud. In the morning the man went and informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed him that this was the sakina, the tranquility came as a result of recitation of the Quran. That because sakina will come down on recitation of the Quran, especially if the human being or the man or a Muslim recited slowly with reflection and being mindful. So this sakina, the state of tranquility, will come on the person until it reaches his heart. So in this story we see one of the karamat, one of the specialities that Allah gave it to his friend. Because the friends of Allah, they have a speciality with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He may bless them with it. But not every wali, not every friend of Allah have to have a karama or something speciality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some of the awliya. And this speciality which Allah gave it to him, which is something is not normal to be seen or to be known among the people, and the purpose is to affirm and confirm what he's doing from the right deed. Usually this speciality that Allah give it to his friend is not something normal, that means is not something that the people see it every day. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to some of his awliya, his close friend. The same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this speciality, we will call it in this case, if given to the Prophet, will be called mu'jiza, miracle. So the wali is less than the Prophet. The wali, the friend of Allah, he's supposed to be following the messenger of Allah. So Allah will support the messenger with a miracle, and if Allah gives the wali a miracle, we will call it karama. The scholars, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send mercy in their souls, they said the things that happen which is not normal things that can be divided to three categories. One which is proof, evidence, miracle, is supportive to the prophets. The second will be a means of supporters and the speciality for the friends. The third category, which will be humiliation. Which is caused by the shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow it to happen on the hands of the shayateen and their friends. Therefore, when a human being, something not normal happen with him, so it can be under one of the three categories. This person, it can be a prophet, or this person can be a wali, or this person can be a part of the groups of the shaitan. That means he be a messenger or a prophet of Allah, or he can be a friend of Allah but he's not a prophet. That means he's not receiving revelation, or that this person can be a friend of the shaitan. As we understand, after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no more miracles, because miracles is a speciality which is given to the Prophet. With the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no more miracle. What is remain? Remain two categories, two things. One can be a support for the wali of Allah, and one can be a humiliation for the enemy of Allah and the friend of the shaitan. So the karama, the speciality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may bless somebody with it in this life, it will happen with a righteous person. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had explained to us who are the awliya, who are the friends of Allah. He said, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Which is the meaning is, indeed the friends of Allah, no fear for them, no sadness. Those who believe and do righteous deed. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused something not normal to happen in the life of a righteous person, now we will call this a karama. The third category, which is like magic or a thing that happening as a result of being supportive to the shaitan, and this will happen to the people who are away from Allah's Sirat. They may call themselves or claim that they are the friends of Allah, but they are playing with the people's mind. As example, some of them, he may wear a big turban, make a long, large sleeves for his thobe, have a long and tall beard, and he cover his face with a belt, So prostration mark will be showing in his forehead. So actually he's playing games with the people's life. He tried to look to them as if he is a righteous person, but in the meantime he may be even using the shaitan for special reasons. So as example, he may cause things like flipping a car or making a horse or a camel fall down, or the people may see him flying in the air. The people sometimes see a person in their city in the morning. By the evening he's already in Arafah in Mecca. How did he reach that fast? Because those people are supportive of the shaitan. Thus the shaitan will do certain things to make the people get deceived by them more. So when we see these people been having things which is not normal in their life, we could not call this a karama. We could not call it a speciality from Allah. But this is a means of degradation for them. This is some means for Allah to humiliate them. And the scholars have wrote about this issue a lot. And the best book that been written in this subject, Al-Furqan Bayna Awliya Ar-Rahman Wa Awliya Ash-Shaytan, which is written by Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullahi Alayhi, which is the name of the book, The Criterion Between the Friends of Allah, the Most Beneficent, and the Supporters of the Shaytan, which is Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullahi Alayhi had mentioned some of the things that happened to the friends of Allah, and also something what happened to the enemies of Allah and the friends of the Shaytan. One of the stories about Musaylima Al-Kazzab. Musaylima is a liar, a person who claimed to be a prophet, which he came there in Al-Yamama, the capital city close to Al-Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, and he claimed that he is a prophet. So his people came to him and told him that we have a well of water, and the water getting deeper and deeper, we could not reach it. There is no more water except little. What about you come and bless it? Since you are a prophet, come and bless it. So, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the companions, used to complain about the little bit of food or little bit of water, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will put his hand in the water and Allah will bless the water, and now the water starts to come in gushing between the fingers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those people, they went to Musaylima Al-Kazzab and they told him, what about you come and do some kind of your miracles and your speciality for our world, so maybe the water will be increased. So Musaylima Al-Kazzab, the liar, he went and he spit in the well of the water. As a result of this, now the water went down more deeper and deeper, and barely was any water left in the thing. So here, this is something unusual, that somebody will spit in the water, now this will cause the water to disappear. But this is a way that Allah had made it to be humiliation for this man, and to expose him and to show that he is a liar. So when we see something special or not normal with a man, we don't have to jump to conclusion. We have to first to observe the person's life. Is he a Muslim? Is he a believer? Does he go to the mosque, pray his 5-time prayers? He guards the limits of Allah. So if he so, now we call this a karama. But if he is a person that doing the haram, and you never see him in the mosque, and he doesn't even learn about Quran and Sunnah, now you will know that this person is enemy of Allah, a friend of the shaitan. Same thing like happened with the magician in the time of Musa. the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. When they throw their sticks, the ropes, and they cause magic and made the people imagine that this Sphinx moving. But look, when Musa alayhi salam came, so Musa alayhi salam is a believer, he's a prophet. So Musa, he threw his stick, and his stick in reality had moved and turned to a big huge snake which ate and destroyed all the sticks and the robes that had been done by the magician. Excuse me. So you can see the difference between the work of Moses alayhi salam and the work of the magician. So the snakes that been made by the magician was not reality, was a made believe to the people that something moving. But Musa, because he's the wali of Allah, he's the prophet of Allah, the stick Allah caused it to turn, and this was a miracle which take care of all these other things that been done by the magician. We'll go to the next hadith inshallah, which hadith 999. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله فله حسنة والحسنة بعشر أمثالها لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. Narrated Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever recites a letter from Allah's book, the noble Quran, he will be credited with one virtue, and a virtue gets a tenfold reward. I don't say that Alif Lam Meem is one letter, but Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Meem is a letter, narrated, reported by At-Tirmidhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Explanation by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi. It says this hadith also to support the virtues of reciting the Quran, the great reward that the person will receive as a result of this. Here is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that for every letter that you recite from the Quran, you will get a blessing, and each blessing turned to be 10 blessings. So only by saying Alif Lam Mim, you will be getting 30 blessings. This is a great ni'mah, great blessing from Allah, such a great reward for a little bit of deed. Therefore, we should be concerned about increasing our recitation to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not have to be out of memorization. You can say it from reciting the Quran, or from the little bit that you memorize. Even we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ is a third of the Quran. It's telling us that reciting قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ this surah, as if you recite it, a third of the Quran, or is equivalent to the third of Quran. So we should be increasing our recitation of the Quran, regardless if you read it from memorization or is reciting it from the Quran. The second hadith after this, which reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, we are not getting into it, which is hadith number 1000, because the hadith is weak. We'll go to the next chapter, inshallah. Which is chapter 181. And this باب الأمري بتعهد القرآن والتحذير من تعريضه للنسيان. This chapter, safeguarding the noble Quran. Chapter 181. This is volume 2 of Riyad al-Salihin, Dar al-Salam publication, and will be page number 806. Which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Same hadith 1002 عن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعاهدوا هذا القرآن فوالذي نفس محمد بيده لهو أشد تفلتا من الإبل في عقولها متفق عليه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith which reported by Abu Musa, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, retain continuing to memorize and reviewing the Quran and safeguard the noble Quran by the one whose hand Muhammad's soul is. It escapes sooner from memory than a camel does from its tying rope. This chapter, it shows us the necessity of going over what we already memorized. And Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh, in his explanation said, ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله في كتاب رياض الصالحين باب الأمر بتعهد القرآن والتحذير من تعريضه للنسيان، يعني أن كتاب الله عز وجل إذا من الله عليك فحفظته فتعهده، وذلك لأن القرآن الكريم كما شبهه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كالإبل في عقولها. The author, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send mercy in his soul, in his book Guardian of the Righteousness, concerning a person keeping tracking with the Quran and warning against forgetting the Quran, that means the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed you to memorize the Quran or to memorize something from the Quran, now you need to always review it. That because Quran can escape your memory, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had give example like a camel's been tied. If a man keep eye on it, it will be remaining there. But if he turn it loose, it will run away and get lost. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had swear upon such case, as it came in the hadith Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, ta'ahadu al-Quran, that keep reviewing the Quran, stay in a close distance with the Quran. I swear by the one who holding my soul in his hand, that the Quran will escape your memory more than camels in its ropes. Therefore, it is a necessity that you make a portion of the Quran, that you go over it every day. As example, you will say, every day I'm going to read one volume or one juz of the Quran. By this way, you will be finishing the Quran in 1 month. Or you may say, as example, I'm going to read and review 2 volumes of the Quran therefore you'll be able to finish the whole Quran in 2 weeks, or 3 juz every day, therefore you will be finishing the Quran every 10 days or 9 days, or you may be able to make it even in 3 days. So you have to keep with the Quran so you don't forget it. There is a lot of ahadith that came concerning those people who neglected the Quran. Therefore, as a result of this, he forgot it. Those people who neglected the Quran, after Allah had blessed them with memorization, this is so serious, and we fear punishment for him. Therefore, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed you with the memorization of the Quran or some of the Quran, you have to keep with the recitation and reviewing and reviewing again and again, and also acting according to the Quran. Because acting and practicing the Quran will help you of memorization and keep it in mind and keep it in memory. Therefore, some of the scholars, they said, tie knowledge with action. Tie the knowledge by your action. Because when you act according what you learn, this will help you to keep remembering what you learn. Because the Quran will be in your tongue, in your parts of your body, so everything will be acting according to the Quran. If you do so, now the Quran will be always in your memory. By no means you can forget it. But if you neglect it, now this is very serious. Those people who recite the Quran, they need to do it slowly, take their time, reflect, being mindful. You are not supposed to be rushing. And sometimes some people, when they are rushing, they may drop some letters. That means escape some letters. And by escaping some of the letters, you'll be changing the words of Allah and the meaning of the words. And this is very serious. But if a person reciting it very well, although he's going fast, but he knows how to keep tracking with the wording of the Quran without escaping any letters, this will be acceptable, no harm, inshallah. The second hadith related to the same chapter, hadith Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنما مثل صاحب القرآن كمثل الإبل المعقلة أو المعقلة، إن عاهد عليها أمسكها وإن أطلقها ذهبت. متفق عليه. Should the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying the parable or the example of the one who knows the Quran by heart is as an example of an owner of camels that it ties. As the owner of the hobbled camel, if he remains vigilant, he will retain it, and if he neglects it, it will go away. Next chapter, inshallah, we may have to stop here because it's a little bit longer, and as I stated that I have to go for a meeting today, so inshallah we'll stop here. Hopefully, inshallah, that this will be a reminder for the speaker and the listener that we try to keep with the Quran, go over what we had learned, even if it's short surahs, so we did not forget them. So by reviewing them, you're getting two shooting two birds with one stone. One that you get in the reward of reviewing, and secondly, by saying the Quran, reviewing, you get in a blessing. And at the same time, you are reviewing, so you did not forget it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for listening, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.